closer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is our regular episode. It is a Saturday morning. If you're watching it right as it dropped, it's a Saturday morning, or if you're listening to it right when it dropped. Let's see. All right. See ya.
That's a wrap.
No, we got everybody today. We got Jeff, Steph, Dustin. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Cheerio.
Cheerio and all of that jazz. I spent the last hour at a vet. That was fun. I like now they let you go in and
this temper.
No, I don't have this temper. I have deworming. Our dog Rizzo has a problem with her eye. She has one of those ulcers on her eye. So they had to create some sort of elixir or something or other. I forget the name of it, but they drew her blood and then they made this stuff to put in her eye. I don't know. It's all technical dog stuff. Technical dog stuff, but hopefully she'll be all right. But
boy, I've had so many eye issues with dogs.
Well, they used to come out to your car and get you, and then when things lightened up a little bit, they started letting people go in, and now they're back to, well, we can come in and get it, whatever. But wait a minute, I just sit in that room. I felt like I was at an actual doctor's office. But anyway.
I kind of miss them just coming out and getting the dog.
Yeah. Then you can sit in your car and do the crossword puzzle or scroll through Twitter and get angry or go on Facebook and get sad or go on Instagram and get jealous of everybody else's wonderful life. But
I usually watch a movie or a TV show or something.
I don't do that.
You can't go on TikTok unless you're a kid or a perv.
That's my thought about TikTok. But it's for kids and perverts. And I don't know anybody that's on TikTok except for Jeff. Steph, are you on TikTok?
I'm not a kid or a pervert.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a kid now.
Yeah.
I am on TikTok, though.
Are you? So what do you do on TikTok?
Just look at other people's crap. Oh, usually okay. It's Morty the Misfit. I like to watch the Morty the Misfit videos.
I don't know who Morty the Misfit is. Who's that?
He's a little chihuahua that has a hitch in his giddy-up.
Okay.
And his owner will put his little walks down the hallway to various songs, you know, like Jump in the Line by Harry Belafonte. Yeah. And she'll do it to all kinds of different ones. And you'll just watch him do his little, he's got a little bit of a, it's a little bit of he's a debilitation.
He's a gimp?
Yeah, sort of, kind of. Yeah. But he's very spoiled, but he's a little chihuahua and he has a hitch in his giddy up and his name's called Morty the Misfit. And you can watch, I mean, his videos have millions of gajillions of views.
I'm on it, but I have the app and everything, but I don't watch it. But Jeff, what's wrong with your TikTok? What's the problem?
All right. On TikTok, you follow people and you can watch your people that you're following, or you can swipe to the other side and TikTok just shows you what it wants to show you. That's your For You page.
All right.
So this video came up on my For You page. It's this old lady doing a mall walk. The Claire's Boutique opened up. And they just opened as she was walking by. And so she went in and she bought a headband at the Claire's Boutique. And she has it on in the video. And she's like, who's going to stop me? The headband police? I commented on the video, defund the headband police. And now, like 3,000 people have liked my comment. So every time I open TikTok, I get like 10,000 notifications that saying such and such liked your video, such and such liked your comment. It's just, it annoys me now.
Why is that? You're TikTok famous. Why would they bother you?
Well, it's just annoying because they just like the comment and it just keeps telling you, like, after 2,000, it should just stop.
Or you should have the trials and tribulations of a TikTok star.
Yeah, how are you going to get clout if it stops?
Well, you don't even get clout. That's the thing.
If this is the life of a comment king, you should know that.
You're the comment king. Jeff Liebhoff, comment king.
But on Facebook, you can shut that shit off if you want to. You know what I mean? You can't do that on TikTok.
Anytime I comment something on Twitter, you know, if it's on a news story or something, and I'm usually making a joke, but every reply was, yeah, well, but Trump, and I didn't even mention him, nor would I, or do I care. But it's because it's all robots. It's all bots. It's you have some bots here and some bots there. I would think that TikTok probably doesn't have that problem because, you know, unless they're just viewing things. Do you create content?
I have created some content.
Yeah. Does it get likes and does it go places?
No, not really.
Should we get on TikTok, Radio Labyrinth? Would anybody?
That's what I post our story that Dustin sends us on there.
But I mean, should we have an official page?
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt.
All right. We'll think about it.
You'll have to put something to whatever challenge song they have going that month. You'll have to do that.
I guess I'll have to pay attention to it because I'm kind of out of the loop on that stuff. I'm kind of stupid.
I remember the old days back when you were a kid and you used to go out and play Cowboys and Guardians with your friends.
Cowboys and Guardians. Yeah. Old days. Sometimes I remember. Sorry, I'm having brain farts today. You know, that's all because of fish. I went to the fish show a week ago. It was fun. It was interesting. You know, one thing I'd like to observe, have any of you been to, I know Jeff has, Ameris Bank Amphitheater in Alpharetta, Georgia? No. Formerly known as Verizon Wireless Amphitheater in Alpharetta, Georgia.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, I've seen shows there.
It is the worst place on earth to see a concert if you're driving. Because the parking situation is shit. They don't open the lot till 5 o'clock. And you have to follow all these little windy roads. And getting there is such a pain in the ass. We were in the car for an hour and a half going, I don't know, less than 2 miles. And it was just awful. And you really can't do anything. But I got there around 3:30 thinking I could park, you know, to wait for the guys to show up with my ticket. And the cop's like, no, can't go in there unless you got your ticket. Yeah, they don't open till 5 anyhow. And he goes, and you can't wait. You got to wait. This is really stupid. But it was interesting to be back at a big venue like that. Nervous about it a little bit leading up to the show. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, I'm vaccinated, but okay. Anyway, we finally get in there and get parked and it is jam packed. You know, that they had opened the doors. They just opened the doors, I guess. And Jesus, it was like a sea of people like it's always been just jam packed next to each other. So I had a mask on, you know, a disposable mask. And then over that, I pulled a gator, you know, one of those face things. And that's what I did. I waited in line with that. And, you know, it was sweaty, hot. People are shouting and everything. But once you got in, it really wasn't so bad being in the lawn. I don't think I would have been able to handle being in the pit. I got to tell you, about 10 o'clock, 10:30, I started feeling the I'm gonna get COVID. Oh, I better get the fuck out. So that's pretty much what I did. I didn't drink enough or do any kind of mind altering substances that would have caused or exacerbated my anxiety. So it didn't really affect me all that much. But it was weird. Plus, I was tired and it was hot as fuck.
Were people wearing masks besides you?
No. I mean, some people were. But the vast overwhelming majority, I would say 90% of the audience did not have masks on or over their, you know, ears. They weren't hanging down over their chin. They just didn't have them on.
They play like a new 2-hour song.
No, they played the old 2-hour song. There were some new songs and the show was great. I mean, it was nice to see, the band that I like to go see the most. But it was weird to be at a show. I don't know. And now I'm worried about it. I've been worried about it for almost a week.
If you worry about it, it lowers your immunity.
I understand that. You can't worry about anything or you blah, 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 blah. But every little sniffle or trickle or headache or everything.
You need to do like I do, Tim. I got these Goalie Ashwagandha gummies and I just take them like every hour.
Goalie what?
They're Goalie Ashwagandha gummies.
What's Ashwagandha?
I don't know, but it's for stress.
Placebo in Swahili.
Yeah. I don't know. But if you just take them consistently throughout the day, you just kind of feel like you're on a floaty little cloud. Okay. Nothing can get you.
Well, I am tired and everything, and but you know, I don't know. I should probably not worry about it so much because again, I am vaccinated, and I take all the vitamins and everything you're supposed to take. We're not going to say whether they help or not. It's suggested that you are healthier. Maybe you take vitamin D3.
I take it.
Yeah, I take that every day.
6,000 emergency immunity booster.
Yeah,
take that.
Yeah,
take a regular one a day vitamin.
Yeah. At noon, I stand under the sun and stare at it for 20 minutes or so.
Head take on. A probiotic.
Yeah, well, that's my, you know, I take a probiotic. And the only thing I did is change the color of my poop.
It's not green anymore.
It's not dark brown anymore. Now it's a nice light brown. I heard one of the symptoms of COVID is, COVID, they're calling it COVID poop.
And oh, what's that?
Spongy poop.
Mm.
You could Google it if you want. I don't recommend it.
So what, you gotta reach your hand in there and see if it's spongy or not?
Well, you can probably tell by looking at it. I don't think you have to feel, unless you're blind, then I guess maybe you'd want to reach down.
Do you look?
Do I look?
Yeah.
You know me?
Yeah, that's right. I'm sure you get out a fucking monocle and look at it.
The first time I saw my gastroenterologist, and I call him that because I've seen him plenty of times since then. I said, the first time I said, you know, this might've been the second time after he knew me. I said, yeah, I genuinely take a look at it. He goes, that doesn't surprise me at all. Talking to you,
you fecal freak.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I leave it in where I leave it where it's supposed to be. I don't go in there and mess around with it. I'm not some sick.
No, if you leave it sitting though, that's where the funk happens. I mean, you just need to like release and flush.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm not that kind of person. Release.
You're
look.
Just gonna sit in your own bench.
Walk away.
Hey, Caitlin, come in here and look at this. What do you think?
Oh, no, she.
Spongy.
She,
it looks
this one looks like a J.
This one's Bono.
Like my dad.
South Park reference there.
Yeah.
One other thing about the fifth show and that Alpharetta venue, security there so lame. Like, yeah, you're standing an inch over the line. It's the grass, but there's no line. There's no demarcation. There's no. Like, you can't stand here. There's no signs. It's just, well, this is different colored grass. You can't stand here. Stand out of the other colored grass. Don't stand here because people walk by. Get back.
What a job that would be, herding hippies.
Yeah, I know. They get a lot of, they're called, they get that mislabeling a lot of times. There are a lot of hippies there, but there's a lot of bros too. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of fish bros. You know, hey, all right, woo, let's get drunk and yell and scream. But it was fun. I got hit in the head a couple times with glow sticks. So my year is complete as far as concert going. But is there a band that any of you guys would go see in these dark days? If there was a big, and you knew it was going to be open and big like that, most people aren't going to wear masks. Would you go? What band would you go see?
We're going to see Dead & Company in October.
Yeah, but it'll be over by then. No, I don't think so.
I'd go see The Cure.
You would?
They're playing live. Yeah, yeah. Go see The Cure.
Yeah.
I didn't even before COVID, I hate big concerts. I hate them. I don't ever go to them. If the only shows that I would go to are like at the Masquerade, the Tabernacle. That's as big of a venue as I'll do. I hate amphitheaters. If it's at Phillips, I don't even see the point. So once it gets past that club size, I don't have any interest in seeing it.
So would you go see a band now in a club?
Yeah, I probably would. I mean, actually, I'm trying to think. The last concert I went to was probably Big Boy. So Big Boy at the Masquerade and Killer Mike.
Babe, that was awesome.
It was a great show. It was a really great show. I'd probably go see the Black Keys just because if they were in a small venue and they never disappoint at a live show, they're perfection at a live show. And that's the other thing too. I don't bother going to see anybody that I know isn't just going to be incredible live.
Right.
It's been 30 in Athens.
Who? Oh, they are?
Black Keys. Yep.
Oh,
they just announced been sold out for,
I'm sure that's been sold out since the moment it was mentioned. Yeah, I would see that. I would
the baby's going to be playing the boat show up in Gwinnett County.
DaBaby is not playing shit. DaBaby got kicked off everything.
Who's DaBaby?
DaBaby.
I don't know who DaBaby
is. He's a rapper. He's a very popular rapper. Or he was. Oh. DaBaby.
No, he's still very popular. Popularity is not the problem.
Does he do that mumble rap or is he like a real...
No, he's not like a... He's an in-betweener. I mean, his last album was terrible, but the album before that was pretty good. It was enjoyable. But he said a bunch of really, he said some homophobic stuff that was on the line. And then he Matt Damon's
daughter got to him too.
Well, he probably could have been okay. He could have talked himself out of it, but he decided to double down and try to say that it was because he doesn't have the education when it comes to being politically correct about that kind of thing. And that he wasn't talking about like his gay fans. Mm-hmm. He was talking about the gay fans that get the nasty AIDS. And so that was kind of it for him.
At least he clarified. I couldn't pick him out of a book. I wouldn't be able to tell you who he is. Because I'm old, but has he been around a long time, DaBaby?
He's been around a few years.
Is it DaThe?
It's DaBaby.
So
DaBaby.
DaBaby, not DaBaby.
It's DaBaby.
Any relation to DaBrat?
I don't think they are related. And I think that, you know, she is an out lesbian. I don't think she would care for the correlation.
Okay. I didn't know that about DaBrat either.
Yeah. Yeah. She has a, not a wife, but I don't think they're married, but she's out.
Okay. Right on.
Yeah. But so anyway, DaBaby is the
canceled.
Yeah. The canceled, yeah.
The platformed.
He got kicked off of Lollapalooza. He got kicked off of, it's any show that's got coming out.
They did him a favor kicking him out of Lollapalooza. Did you see all
that? They kicked him off Music Midtown too, or Shaky Knees or whatever the one he was playing.
That's going to get canceled. I guarantee you that's going to get canceled. I mean, they can't, what did they cancel? In New York City, they canceled a boat show or some shit like that. No, a car show, the international car show that canceled.
Yeah, DaBaby was playing there.
What about DaBaby?
He was playing there. That's
why he was a musical guest.
Yeah. No, he wasn't. Not at a car show. He wasn't.
He's gonna be now.
Anyway, I hope DaBaby clears it up and, you know, stops being homophobic, because we don't have room for that in our society anymore. We never did, but now we can get rid of it. You know, we don't have to have it.
No, we don't.
No,
we don't. We don't. I mean, really, he doesn't really have an excuse because he's a young guy. Nobody his age. We're not talking, like, this isn't like mid-90s Eminem shit. Right. I mean,
this is not a Gen Xer. Yeah,
doing all these kids today that are his age, they know the drill. They know,
but they do it anyway. I mean, you're not going to stop it. You're never going to stop it unless you make it outlawed and, you know, they threaten to cut your junk off or something, or put you in solitary confinement for 10 years. People are going to be people. And
you know, my mom is not like a psycho, whatever, but she's 60 something. She doesn't understand things. And my niece's boyfriend, his brother, he's a younger kid, but he's already out there. You know, he's out there doing him, being him with his little booty shorts and stuff like that. And when they came over to the house, my mom was like, "What is happening? What is going on with this kid?" And my nephew said, "Grandma, it's not for you to talk about. Kids are gay, and that's just their thing. And you don't need to, like, shame them about it."
So that South Park episode from 2003 came to life in reality, didn't it?
But my nephew, he's just like, but that's their generation. I mean,
right.
Yeah, they don't think about it.
I mean, yeah, it's not a thing.
Well, it is what it is. I was telling Gil the other day, you know, we were having a conversation one way. I said, you can do anything you want except for play football. I said, you can be a tennis player. You can play baseball. You could wrestle. You could be a ballerina. Anything you want to do, you can do. And I support it. Just not in my house.
Gymnast.
Gymnast, but take time for your mental health always.
Stop. Hey,
Sarah Palin didn't get praise when she quit being the governor of Alaska. For a mental health break, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Be careful, you're going to have to clear your Instagram.
Yeah, but she didn't come. She didn't come back and get a bronze either. So
she didn't come back and get a bronze. No, that was a gimme one. And she also didn't choke like the soccer team did. What are you talking about, Instagram? Oh, that Michael Chase story. What happened to the Michael Chase story? What did he do? Did he make jokes about her?
Yeah, he was making some jokes about her.
He did not. He did not make any jokes. All he did was he said he was going to go to the comedy club that night and do 3.5 minutes on Simone Biles. And he said, "Give me your best Simone Biles jokes." He never made one joke.
Oh, okay.
People he just instigated started making the flow jokes, of jokes. Yeah.
And he ranked them. Uh-huh. And I think the joke that broke the whole thing was when somebody said, and I thought they said black don't crack. and Che gave it a 7 out of 8.
So Che liked the joke, but then who complained?
You know,
the rest of them.
The people that get upset white about women. Things. Just, you know, everybody, the people that don't think anything's funny.
Right. Right. White women.
It probably was white women, no doubt. I don't know. They don't even bother going after Tim Dillon because his rant about Simone Biles over the weekend. I mean, if you were going to go after anybody, I mean,
well, I saw he put out an apology video, and that's the first one I've seen him put out.
Oh, one?
Dillon did. Yeah.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Apology video.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I saw it this morning and I was like, wow, that's impressive. He don't usually apologize. I'm shocked.
Well, he did straight up say that athletes.
Yeah.
And that they don't have the mind capacity to think that they should just focus on their sport. And when you think too hard, that's when you get depressed.
But imagine caring either way. That's my thought about it. I don't care about the Olympics. I don't care about her. I root for the Americans to win, you know, because it's my country. So I root for them to win. I want her to do well. She's an amazing, probably the best gymnast the United States has ever put on a team, right?
Yeah. Why would you care so hard either way? Who cares?
And if somebody makes a joke about it, it's okay because it's a joke and she's not hurt by it. You're hurt by it. You live in a basement.
To his point, and I totally agree with this, he said he thought gymnastics should be illegal because it's just full of pedophiles. It's they stunt all these little girls' growths.
Larry Nassar?
That guy? Right? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's like it's just a sport so you can molest little girls.
The weirdo hammer thrower who said she wins, she's going to spit on the flag or turn her back or whatever. And she didn't do well. She came in 9th place or something. And, I took that bait initially. I'm like, I hope she loses. But again, I don't care. I didn't care. I don't even watch the Olympics. I don't even care.
I haven't watched the Olympics since Mary Lou Retton was in them.
Neither have I.
That was like 1984. That's not
necessarily true. I think I watched it in 96 because I was here and I was excited for it. I have to say that the only team I rooted against was the women's soccer team, and I'm glad they lost. Not because they kneel. I just think they're obnoxious and annoying and, oh, look at me and how cool I am. All right. Well, you lost. So now you're not as cool as you used to be. I don't care about the kneeling stuff at all. People can do whatever they want to do, but I don't like the, oh, I'm so cool because of what I, no, you're not cool. You're not cool.
I was going to care about any of the issues. I would think that, what was it? The Norwegian volleyball team, how they fined them for not wanting to wear bikini bottoms. I thought that's pretty stupid.
Yeah. Imposing their own cultural bias against another country.
Yeah.
Just because they won't let them do it in their country doesn't mean that, you know,
Bikini bottoms. I mean, it's
bikini bottoms should be mandatory for every athlete, every sport, period.
Look, and that's the thing. The dude should have to wear Speedos then, if that's the case. Yeah. Because they wear short
shorts. I don't have to watch that.
Yeah, you don't have to watch it, but they should have to with no underpants or cups.
Yeah, like the original Olympics. They used to do it naked. So
yeah.
You ever played volleyball on the sand?
No.
I can tell you that if you have a tight bathing suit on, I mean, you sand in your crotch. I mean, that's not a fun time. But why do they got to do that? Why do the women have to put up with that?
But the women wear the outfits because it's more comfortable for them.
It's not.
To wear those little, why do they wear those little speedy outfits now? Why do they wear those little revealing outfits?
Make them wear 1920s bathing costumes.
Then they wouldn't have any range of motion.
I think they've just as much range of motion in a pair of shorts. That was the whole point.
Right. Make them wear skorts.
Them in wetsuits and see who drops first in the heat.
Atlanta Pizza in Euro in Conyers, Georgia. Did I say that right? Conyers, Georgia?
Yeah. Oh, it's Conyers.
Yeah, it's Conyers. Oh, that's Dustin. That's what you call home. That's where you call. And home is where you hang your pizza. You seem a little bit tired, but you know, that pizza will revive me. I plan on going out there very, very shortly. And you should go out there if you live in the Atlanta area. And even if you don't, if you live in like Alaska, you should order one. Maybe it'll ship it to you. It is our favorite family-owned and operated restaurant. And they have so many fans in the metro Atlanta area and all around the globe. People come all the way from Pennsylvania to eat there. Their gyros, their gyros, generously topped pizzas, Greek salads, subs, Greek and Italian dishes are the best anywhere around. Just ask their loyal customers the next time you visit. By the way, they have free Wi-Fi if you want to check your AMC stock while you're in there. Dine-in and takeout available. Hours are Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturday from 12 to 9. Closed on Sundays. You can visit them online at atlantapizzaeuro.com and find them on Facebook, where you can get specials and updated information about events and things that are going on out there. Mike Hall is a class act dude. We love him, and we've done a couple live shows out there. We did our last appearance out there, our end of the COVID, hopefully, get together, and we look forward to sometime in the fall, late summer, early fall, doing a full live recorded show out there, maybe around Dragon Con time if we can work it out. So
I wanted to bring out his new fancy food truck.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Go out into a field.
His food truck is going to be on the road soon, and hopefully somewhere near us.
Yeah, maybe we could do it in my backyard.
Yeah.
I don't want to. My house. I didn't say that out loud, did I? No. So, guys, check it out. Atlanta Pizza and Euro. I want to thank Rosanna Moore. She is our latest interview on our weekly series, the show that drops on Wednesday. Radio Labyrinth presents interviews. Rosanna Moore was most recently the latest person to tap out on the show alone on History Season 8. And she is from the same neck of the woods that Jeff and I grew up in, a little town called Wellsboro, Pennsylvania. We speak to her about that area because that's where we're from. And it's interesting that somebody from that area is famous and on a national show. And also she does a lot of interesting things in the town, a lot of conservation and a lot of teaching people how to, you know, hunt fish, you know, and not just people, but boys, girls, adults, you know, teaching them how to, you know, be able to survive and, you know, and have skills like that. And, she was a great interview. She was a lot of fun and very nice. So thank you.
Yeah, it seemed like it turned out really well.
Yeah. And it's kind of weird just being able, hey, you know, we found out that she doesn't like a certain pizza place that Jeff and I,
Pudgies?
overly reminisce over, you know what I mean? Think it's better than it tastes, and then you bite into it like, I remember. But Pudgy's doesn't suck, but she doesn't.
It's not great pizza, but for some reason I just miss, that's the thing that I miss.
Yeah, it's the I don't know, the way it feels when you bite into it and the way it smells. If you bring it home in your car, it stays in your car for like 6 months, the smell, and that's a good thing. But no, we talk about that. We talk about the area. We talk about what it was like to be on the show and where they are, and check it out if you haven't seen it yet. Next week after this show, this one that you're watching or listening to, we have Maka Pohatu.
Yep.
And he is the sergeant of the police force on Wellington Paranormal, which if you're not watching, you should. It is extremely funny. And Jeff and I spent a little time with him. That comes out on August 11th. And big news from Jeff this week is we have Wesley Ewer and Kathy Coleman. And if you don't recognize those names, well, that is Holly and Weir. Yeah, Will and Holly, the two kids from Land of the Lost, are going to be on with us to talk about Dragon Con. And that's a good get. We're going to geek out with those two. Jeff's actually met them a bunch of times, haven't you? Or at least a couple times.
A few times.
Yeah. Did Dustin and Stephanie, did you guys watch Land of the Lost?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
you did. Okay.
Oh yeah,
I watched it in syndication. Yeah.
I mean, like when I was three or four when I watched it, I think it was like 1977, wasn't it already like reruns at that point?
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Yeah, mine was the early 80s, like a PBS thing at my grandmother's, but it was still fun or great, you know, fun to watch.
I liked the original, their dad. And better than I like the uncle who just managed to show up after the dad left. But we can find it. You know why, though? Jeff knows all the whole backstory and everything, so I'm sure the questions will be good. I would like to have seen a real legitimate reboot of that show. I was always fascinated by the world that they had created, the universe that they had created. There was a lot of heavy things in there for little kids to have to digest, like the pylons and how they traveled and the sleestack.
They had some great writers, like Star Trek writers wrote for Land of the Lost, so there was some hard sci-fi concepts in there.
Yeah, definitely. And I always thought that would have made for an interesting continuation, but The only thing we ever got out of it was that awful Will Ferrell movie.
Now they made a reboot.
Oh, they did, but it was kind of
in the early 90s, and Kathy Coleman was supposed to be in it.
Yeah,
as the older version of Holly.
Uh huh.
She was supposed to be like a jungle girl, but then they decided not to go with her. I guess I don't know if it was money or they just decided not to do it. But yeah, they had a whole new family and everything, and they lived in a treehouse.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't great. I think it only lasted a season.
No, it wasn't the same family, you said.
No, it was a different family.
Oh, geez.
But yeah, the Will Ferrell movie sucked. I think they're working on another one, like a real update movie.
Yeah, that movie should never have been made. It's just,
I'd like it to be like, why don't they re-envision it as like a sci-fi horror? You know, like Sleestaks
with the CGI
acid and shit.
Yeah, with the CGI they can do now, they don't even have to go practical like Jurassic Park. They could do it all CGI and it would be great.
Speaking of Dragon Con, which is where they're going to be, as long as they don't cancel it yet. Let's hope they do not. There have been some updates. I do believe they're going to have less people there than they thought they were going to have. Appropriate face masks are going to be required at Dragon Con this year. By the way, Dragon Con is September 2nd through 6th in Atlanta. You can go to dragoncon.org to find out all the information. You're going to have a reduced capacity. They are having the parade this year, which I like. And I like this news a lot. You can only go to the parade if you're an attendee. Now that may suck for some people, but I think it's good. If you're going to the thing and you want to go to the parade, at least you'll have a place to sit.
Yeah, I imagine the streets will be way less crowded if they don't let just everybody come out and watch the parade.
I don't know how they're going to enforce that, but
yeah, I was going to say, what if you're homeless and you live on that street?
I need a lifetime membership.
They're going to need tons of volunteers just up and down the entire parade route. So I think they're doing a shorter parade route.
Yeah, and they're going to have less guests, and there'll be less capacity inside of the Walk of Fame and in the vendor shops and all that. But go to dragoncon.org to check it out. I'm not going to complain about any of it because at least they're having it. That's pretty cool, I think, that they're actually going to have it. And hopefully it doesn't get any worse so they don't have to cancel it. So follow those guidelines, folks. Wear your masks when you go into the grocery store so people don't give you dirty looks and all that jazz.
And get your shots, because I had my shots months ago.
Is that anyway? That's not because he got his shots. I don't know what that was all about. Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. One of our favorite senators, the United States Senator from the great state of South Carolina, he tests positive for it. He's got a bit of a flu. His name's Lindsey Graham. We all hope he gets better. He and all his friends he hangs out with on the beaches at night, and his sister, who he loves, and is a peach.
Didn't you say that you were really happy you got vaccinated because you feel like you'd have been much sicker?
Yeah, I'm happy I got vaccinated. I feel like I would have been a lot sicker if I hadn't, because, I still won't get into it, but, you know. Y'all going to talk about White Lotus later? That's a great show. I watch it with my sister. So go out and get your shot. Did you
watch the most recent one?
No, I haven't, but I know what happened.
You do know what happens. Okay.
Yeah, I started reading that article that you posted in the show notes, and I'm like, oh, this has spoilers in it.
It does have a spoiler, but not like.
Well, no, I got to the first sentence had a spoiler, and I'm like, well, I've seen that before, but it's...
We find out what the White Lotus is.
I found out that I really love that show. I think that's one of the funniest shows put out in a long time. It's really, really good.
That's like my favorite new show.
Mine too. Caitlin and I love it. I love that she laughs. You know, the best. Oh my God. It is such a great show. Who? What's her name again? I can't ever remember her name, but
Alexandra Daddario.
No. She's whatever. But Stifler's mom.
Stifler's mom. Yeah.
What's her name? That actress. Jennifer Coolidge, right?
Yeah.
Is that her name? Jennifer Coolidge?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's so funny. She's the best on that show.
Oh God, she just makes you cringe. You're just cringing constantly.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh God, if you could have her come up. And the one girl that plays the masseuse, she is really dialing it back, because on Insecure, she plays Kelly, this very extroverted, funny person, which I like her role as this masseuse too on here, like as her restrained confidant.
Right.
But my favorite, though, is the dude that runs it, him and his whole spiral. Yeah.
Dabney Coleman.
Yeah. He kills me. But that last though was Steve Zahn whenever he was talking about what it's like to have sex when you're married for so long. Me and Neil, when he was describing that it was like eating a bowl of worms on Fear Factor. Like you're like, I can do it. both laughed at that like a little too hard.
The Jake Lacy guy cracks me up. He's hilarious. He's such a douchebag.
Plop.
Huh?
They called him Plop on The Office.
I didn't watch The Office when he was on it.
No.
I didn't know he was ever on The Office. I like Quinn, the kid. He's hilarious.
Oh my God, yes.
Says Molly Shannon's on the show, but apparently she hasn't shown up yet.
She's on the latest episode. Yeah. She's right. Plop's mom. Spoiler alert.
Plop's. Oh my God. All right. What, do they fly to Hawaii?
She does, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy.
I can't wait to see that. Yeah.
I want them both to team up on Murray and get that fucking room that they paid for.
with the plunge pool.
Yeah.
Gotta have that plunge pool.
It's I can't explain why I like it other than the acting's good, the writing's good, it's funny, it's quick, and I'm pleasantly surprised. And I think Alexandra Daddario, even though they, you know, she has the requisite nudity in it, that she's nude in everything she's in pretty much, she's really good. And
not enough.
Well, I understand that's your point of view.
This is the best acting I've ever seen her do. I think she's playing this role to the T.
Mm-hmm. And like Quinn cracks me up all the time too.
He is very funny. His response this time, whenever his dad was like, he's like, I want to talk to you about like when I was thinking about having sex with your mother, and he goes, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you like seeing Steve Zahn's balls?
Yeah.
Gross.
Steve Zahn's balls. All right, guys, let's thank another one of our amazing, amazing, awesome Radio Labyrinth sponsors. Hey, if you're looking for the perfect item to enhance your celebration, graduation, Father's Day is coming up or just went by. There's other holidays coming up or just went by. Check out Cardstock Creation Company. That is run by Lindsay Thomas. You can find her Etsy page at etsy.com/shop/cardstockcreation CO. I'm sure if you just put in Cardstock Creation CO, you'll find it. We'll also put a link in the show notes, both on YouTube and in the RSS feed. Listen, if you need an advent calendar, a cake topper, doggy clothes, I mean, they got everything. Jewelry, koozies, milestone banners, birthday banners, confettis, cupcake toppers, and more. Again, Cardstock Creation Code. Steph, do you need any doggy clothes?
Always. I always need doggy clothes.
Okay.
And I live on Etsy.
I live on Etsy, too. A man cannot live on Etsy alone, though. Sometimes you need eBay, too. I don't know what I'm talking about. I need cupcake toppers like you wouldn't believe. So that's why I'm going to check out Cardstock Creation Co. on Etsy. Just a couple of interesting things I happen to see. I guess the Coen brothers are done working together as a duo because Ethan is done making films.
Hmm.
So that's an interesting bit of news. So Joel's going to be directing movies by himself. I wonder if that'll, I don't know, in any way decrease the quality of the films. I don't know. I hope not. But I guess they've made a lot of amazing films together. So, you know, I guess you can retire if you want to.
I mean, the last thing they did was that Netflix thing, right?
The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Yeah.
And then the Fargo TV series, he's been producing those. So.
Yeah. Hey, that's all it says is he just doesn't want to make movies anymore. So that's a sad thing. Oh, I feel bad.
In this climate, yeah, I don't blame him.
You go through these films. I'm just going to name a couple of them that I like a lot. Blood Simple, their first, I love, from 1984. That's classic film noir. 1987, Raising Arizona. Funniest. It's one of the best. One of the funniest to come out of the 80s and certainly remains one of the funniest movies ever made. Miller's Crossing is a good movie. That came out in 1990. Barton Fink.
Great movie.
Classic.
Sick fuck Fink. the Hudsucker Proxy, not one of my favorites.
I felt like that was so much better the second time I watched it, and then I watched it again and again. It gets better if you watch it again.
Maybe I'll give it. Is that Tom Hanks in that?
Tim Robbins.
Okay, all right. Okay, we'll watch that one again. Fargo, of course, love Fargo. Fantastic from start to finish. The Big Lebowski, movie that grows on you. If you didn't like it the first time, watch it again. Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? 2000, great movie.
It's a classic.
Absolutely fantastic. The Man Who Wasn't There, which is a very slow-paced film with Billy Bob Thornton. Good movie, though.
Happy birthday to him this week.
Yes. Intolerable Cruelty.
That was funny.
Yeah,
I liked it.
All right, now the one that I didn't like with Tom Hanks, The Lady Killers.
That's a good movie.
I just didn't like it. That's right when the Tom Hanks overloaded kicked in. Then they whip out No Country for Old Men, which is boom, just a nice adaptation of Cormac McCarthy. Good acting, just a brilliant film.
I've watched that movie. I can't even count how many times I've watched that movie.
Yeah.
I just love it so much. That's one of my favorite villains of all time.
Yeah, in it, but it does have that it really has that everyone fails feel that the Coen brothers put into their movies. Everybody just fails. There's no.
Well, McCarthy too. I mean, that's kind of his
right.
His thing.
Them making it and portraying it well. I mean, they really fit well together. The one after that, Burn After Reading, is amazing.
Funny. Very funny.
Yep. A Serious Man.
That was a good movie. It was just like a quiet little slow burn.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
I better see it because I don't think I have it. Finally made one that I didn't see. True Grit, I enjoyed.
Yeah, that was really good.
Really good. Inside Llewellyn Davis. There's another one I haven't ever seen.
That's a good movie also.
I thought that was boring to me. I found it boring.
No, you'd like it, Tim. It's about a folk singer in like Greenwich Village and in the like Bob Dylan early days.
Okay. Yeah. Oscar Isaac, right?
Yeah.
Hail Caesar. That's
funny.
Supposed to be their first bomb and it was supposed to be terrible, but it wasn't. It was great.
It was very funny.
Yeah.
And then you got the Ballad of Buster Scruggs, which was on Netflix, which nice little vignettes or whatever.
Yep.
Going back and forth. Really good and entertaining. Film, and their most, I guess they have one coming out that's to be announced, The Tragedy of Macbeth. So we'll see. But anyway, Joel, keep making movies, and Ethan, you know, sit this one out if you don't want to make movies anymore. Doesn't bother me any. You've made so many. You can keep watching them. That's a good thing. It's like a good record album. You go back and you listen to it. If you can watch a movie back, you know, again and again and again, that means it's a good movie. So. Let's see. Bob Odenkirk is fine. That's good news. Last week we talked about that he had a heart attack. Everybody knew that that something had happened to him, but we found out he had a heart attack and he's recovering. So that's good news. Maybe they'll be able to get back to filming and finishing up season 6 of Better Call Saul.
Final season.
Yep. Barry is back in production. So let's hope that keeps going. I think that since the actors, most of these actors are vaccinated and the crews are vaccinated, they're not letting unvaccinated people work. Hopefully these shows can continue to be made because we're going to need something to do when they lock us down for the Omega variant.
If you don't stop with this lockdown shit, but you know, it really doesn't matter as far as like that goes, because they had to shut down production on American Horror Story last week because they had somebody come up with COVID.
Yeah, I know. And what they never tell you is, if people are actually sick or not.
Somebody in my office has it. She turned up with it yesterday.
Yeah.
Delta 88.
Delta 88. So she gets high all the time. Was she vaccinated?
Yep.
And she got Delta.
She did.
And how bad was it?
I don't think she's too bad. She's home.
Yeah.
She's just got a little, she's sick, you know.
God, Beck. Remember 2 years ago when we called that a cold?
I mean, nobody cares. Everybody at work's just like, here we go again. Who gives a shit?
I better go check my temperature. I'll be back in a few minutes. No, we are going to take a short break, though, and come back and talk about what we watched, share our staff picks, and play a little thing that Jeff came up with that we all seem to enjoy called Views or Snooze. If you have a commercial or residential construction printing need, we have the hookup for you. The name of the company is LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia, not Athens, Greece. The one in Athens, Greece, they're not going to get it to you on time. But the one in Athens, Georgia has been in business since 2005. Steph knows the guy who runs it. He's a cool cat, and they have super fast turnaround and affordable prices. So if you understand what we're talking about and that is something that you're in the market for, call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
And we're back.
Thank you, Jeff. We are back. And now we're going to do what did everybody watch and our staff picks. Jeff, why don't you go first?
Okay. I watched the latest Ted Lasso season 2, episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
Still great. Physical episode 9 with our boy Jordan.
Was that the last episode of the season, or is there one more?
No, I think there's got to be more.
Yeah, there's one more.
One more. Yeah. Boy, what another surprise. That's a good show.
Yeah. He only had one line in this episode, though. He was like, my family has got a lot of influence around here, too.
Meet my tapes.
I didn't like him being the bad guy that stole the tapes, but. No.
But that was a twist. I wasn't expecting that.
Spoiler alert, I guess.
I figured that out when they were going to go see him. I'm like, oh, you know what? I would like to talk to Paul Sparks. I was looking around to find him, but I imagine he's such a serious actor that he doesn't have a social media footprint. I couldn't find him anywhere, but I love him on that show.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the latest White Lotus with
the White Lotus.
The White Lotus at the end. Mm-hmm. Licking the White Lotus.
Peel it to the rim.
I was going to ask you, though, don't you think they should have named that White Lotus episode Pacific Rim?
Where the giant robots are licking each other's asses.
That would be great.
I finished The Kominsky Method on Netflix. I finally wrapped that up. I was kind of putting it off because I didn't want it to end. That was a very funny show. And well done. And now my staff pick is Suicide Squad coming on HBO Max this weekend.
Series or a movie?
A movie with James Gunn directing.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Why are people saying about Suicide Squad to release the Ayer cut?
Because that's the guy that directed the first one.
Uh-huh.
And then he got fired, I think, and James Gunn took over.
Okay, so Ayer didn't direct any of this. Is this a reboot or is it a sequel?
It's a continuation to the David.
Why Ayer no movie. Joker?
Yeah, I don't know.
Wasn't the Joker a part of the Suicide Squad in the original?
Gunn was also this. You got to remember too. This was his when he got booted by Disney for his. He got canceled. You know, this was his. Other job that he went, you know, they got pulled back to go to and do. So, you know, he was probably I'm sure some animosity was there against other hero type movies. So I think that's got some to do with it too. Cause Gunn's he's a cool guy. So, and he's definitely one from what I understand, like this is supposed to be the best comic book movie made so far from what I've heard.
Better than the Marvel stuff.
Yeah. Yeah,
all right.
I'm looking forward to it. And I hated the first Suicide Squad movie.
Me too.
No, it was terrible.
Yeah, I really liked it. I didn't even watch it. Mostly, I didn't watch it though because I didn't like the way Jared Leto looked.
You could have gone to the bathroom and completely missed Jared Leto in that movie anyway. So, yeah, you weren't
really.
Yeah, he wasn't in it constantly. I'm finishing up Katla. I still got one more episode on Netflix. The Icelandic volcano movie.
The Icelandic volcano dead people movie.
Yeah. Show. It's pretty neat how it's ending up, but it's a slow burn. I mean, it's pretty to watch, and that's really what helps you watch it.
Right,
the story's kind of slow.
Does it have an English dub or do you read subtitles?
No, they're English dub.
Unless they're speaking. Sorry, Dustin.
No, unless they're speaking Swedish and it's got subtitles.
Right.
But yeah, it's really good. And they do their own dubbing too, the actors. So, you know, they all speak English and they went in and ADR'd their own parts. So it's kind of neat. So it does have this a little more, it flows a little better with what they're saying as opposed to some actor that never met the people before, you know. Also, I watched, now this was a movie that it's from 1980 And I completely missed it growing up. Did you guys remember the Long Riders?
It sounds familiar, but you'd have to tell me what it is.
This was a movie in 1980 that was written and financed by James and Stacy Keach. And it was amazing cast. I mean, it was the story of the James gang, but it was more of a romantic telling of their story. So it's a Western, but it's got David Carradine, Keith Carradine, Robert Carradine, James Keach, Stacy Keach, Dennis Quaid, wow, Randy Quaid, Christopher Guest, Nicholas Guest. I mean, all these sets of brothers in Hollywood. And so they, you know, it's the story of the James gang and Robin Banks and Robin Trains. But it was written by the Keaches, and it was their kind of own personal finance deal. And it's a fun Western movie, but just seeing all these, you know, Dennis Quaid is like the youngest one of them all. He's like a kid.
Where is this streaming?
It's on Netflix. Also, I watched on Netflix Fantastic Fungi.
I saw the promo for that.
Yeah, it's really cool. They go, you know, really in depth on, you know, mushrooms and the history of mushrooms through, you know, human evolution. And how it's, you know, helped develop the, you know, kind of very kind of Joe Rogan ideas, you know, as far as the way that it goes through. But the special effects they use, the
time lapse and stuff.
Time lapses and stuff are amazing. And they do a lot of showing you the underground network of how they're connected and how it fires like synapses in a brain and a lot of information. And it seemed like what Cameron was pushing in Avatar, like the same kind of thought that planet, all the plants were communicating together. But yeah, it's really neat. It's like an hour, but it's really cool.
Awesome.
My staff pick is a movie on Apple Plus that comes out on August 6th called Whirly Bird. It's a documentary about the guys that is a couple that originally started doing that night crawler thing where they would go out with cameras and chase cops down to get to accident scenes and take pictures. And then this guy eventually, as he got better and better and bigger, he moved from cars to a helicopter. And so he was the one who originally got OJ in the Bronco. He was the helicopter shot that you've seen
for a movie.
It's a documentary on him.
Okay. It's weird to me that Katie Tour is in it and she's a journalist. So I don't know.
That's the thing. Her parents.
Okay.
She was raised in this family of, you know, like these hunting journalists that would go out and find this stuff. And it's a really kind of an odd thing too, because I think he's trans. So
he is her
biological father, but yeah. All right. But okay. Now he identifies as a woman. But he had a heart attack at like 35 from doing this. So it comes out on Apple Plus on August 6th, Whirly Bird.
Cool. And Katie Tour is a big fan of fish.
Hmm.
In case anybody was wondering. Because if you follow her on Twitter, which I used to do, you know, I used to follow journalists before everything became the Trump show. She used to always post stuff and then all of the fish fans would comment underneath. So it's fun to read.
Yeah, I watched that Netflix movie, Blood Red Sky.
Is that good?
It wasn't bad. I wouldn't say it was great. I watched all of it. It's a different kind of vampire story for sure. It was very gory. I'll give them that. I mean, I give them points for that. And it was original. Definitely.
The vampire on a plane movie?
Well, the thing of it is
that fucking sick of these fucking vampires on this plane.
It's an international flight, right? She's on there with her kid, and they explain the story. She got bit after her husband got taken while they were broken down on the side of the road. She went to go try and find him because he went off looking for somebody to help him fix their car, and she found him in this house. He had already been mangled and munched on, and then she got bit. But then she figures out if she takes some bullshit. It's a story, guys.
Just watch it.
And all we know is that she turns on the plane and a lot of people fucking get munched on. And there you go. But it's called Blood Red Sky. And that show, Atypical, I never wanted to get into the show. I was like, I'm not going to watch this stupid show. And now I'm like almost caught up to the current season. And I can't help. I like this show. And the kid that plays the Asperger's kid, he's such a good little actor. And the whole cast, I've never seen him so likable ever as he is in this role.
Well, that's some good acting.
That's what I'm saying. Yes, it is very good acting.
You don't like him on TikTok when he goes off on Trump?
No,
you know, normally he sounds like a fucking idiot anytime he's talking about anything.
He spazzed out last week about having to wear masks again.
And he's always spazzing out about something.
Yeah, he's always freaking out about something. I didn't care about his Trump stuff, but he's always been stupid.
Yeah. I mean, he's good.
I like him.
Yeah. All of the freaking feuds that he has with professional athletes.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they're so stupid. But he's good on this show. He plays just like a dad. He's an EMT. And I can't tell you why, but I really like the show. And finally, Neil and I both, we started watching Nora from Queens and we binged the whole thing. We watched the whole thing in like less than 3 days. That is a fun, hilarious show. It is so funny. And I knew Awkwafina from like her YouTube crap and, you know, the Crazy Rich Asians and all this other stuff. I don't know why I didn't want to give this show a chance. It's so freaking funny. BD Wong is her dad and with him with that New York accent. And then her grandma. Oh my God, her fucking grandma.
Grandma was the lady on Orange is the New Black, the older Asian lady.
Oh, really?
She's hilarious on this. Hilarious.
She's so good as the grandma. But Awkwafina, her as this Nora chick, just how it's like sometimes she sounds like she's Southern just out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's very funny. So I highly recommend it. Is the season 2 is coming out or what, Jeff?
It ought to be streaming because they stopped making them on Comedy Central. So the whole thing should be available to watch.
I mean, I've seen the whole first season. Is there a season 2?
Yeah, I think there's a season 2.
Okay, it's not on HBO Max yet. Okay, anyway, that's what I was wondering. Okay, and my staff pick, this is a band. I just kind of, Neil actually asked me if I'd heard of them. Some guy he was working with played them the other day. And I don't really care about any new bands. I really don't. These guys, they're called the Blue Stones. And I've just been like obsessed with this album ever since. It came out in March. And it's called Hidden Gems. And they're just like this Canadian duo. It's very reminiscent of Black Keys, very reminiscent of like Arctic Monkeys or whatever. But it's the whole album from beginning to end, you can just let it play. Every song is good. So I highly recommend it. That is my staff pick this week. I haven't done a music pick in a long time, but I love, love, love this album. And I haven't said that about a whole album in I can't tell you how long. So Hidden Gems, The Blue Stones is the name of the group.
I've been listening to it since you told me about it. It's really
you like
good.
It, right?
Yeah,
I like isn't it good?
It's very good.
Oh my
good.
God, it's so rare that you can put an album on and you're like, oh, I'll just let it go. It's
only sound like a lot like the Black Keys. A lot like the Black Keys, and that's the thing. Their sound is so good that all their songs sound a little similar, but that sound is so good that it just carries over into every song.
Because you know, there's a lot of Black Keys songs. I'm like, you know, they started getting too blah, and I didn't like it. They sound like the Black Keys when I really. Like the Black Keys.
Yeah, really, and highly produced too. Production is really good.
And this is only their second album they've ever put out. They had one album out in 2015 and it didn't go anywhere. Then they reissued it in 2018. So they're still a relatively newer band. I think they're coming to like a tiny little club in Tennessee. I would love to go see them. Now that's a show I would risk COVID to go see.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't. All right. Thank you. Before I read all mine, I wanted to watch Evil this week. Dustin, did they not put one out this week?
Yeah, I think they were holding. They've split the season for a hiatus. So it'll be back, I think, September 1st. So through the month of August, we're not getting any.
That sucks. I was really enjoying this season so far.
I hated the last episode. I told Dustin I don't think I'm going to watch it anymore.
You didn't like the last episode? Why? Mm-hmm.
It was very heavy-handed and very like get out of here. Get out of here.
Oh, with the cops and
it was just so heavy-handed and ridiculous.
Yeah, it was kind of, I didn't get
really lazy.
Yeah, they pushed it's, yeah, that's what I was thinking. It seems like whoever wrote like all of them didn't write the last episode. Mm-mm. Like,
that's how I felt. It felt out of place, but
it was too messagey.
Yeah, I like the grandma though.
Yeah, the grandma's great, but they didn't give you enough of that. They went
up with her. Something's up with her. She's she fucked a lot of demons, apparently.
I think the crux of the show is going to, you know, fall with the in vitro being, you know, them trying to, you know, do something there. I think that's going to involve the mom from the beginning. I think she's going to be the actual one that is going to be behind everything. But that's just my theory. I don't know anything more than that.
Well, your theories usually come true. All right. Thank you. I will now present mine. I watched a movie that came out last year directed by Alex Winter. And you guys know who Alex Winter is, of course. He is in Bill and Ted. And it's called Zappa. And it's the latest Frank Zappa documentary. And it was really, really good. And it starts from his early beginnings, does a lot of covering of the Mothers era and how they started out in California and they weren't really getting a lot of traction because it was during the time of the hippie movement and the peace and love and all that. And there's really only room for one band that stood out, and that was Doors. You know, they weren't hippies, but they were kind of the dark edge of that era. So they go to New York, get a following, and then Frank goes back to California. But anyway, it's a good documentary if you're into Frank Zappa or you just like good music documentaries. It explores how he kind of trained himself to be a musician or actually a composer. He didn't have any formal training. He taught himself pretty much. And, you know, his compositions and his orchestral pieces and things that he's done are amazing. And, you know, he was just there at the edge of when they were able to treat prostate cancer, because he passed away before they were able to, you know, to really deal with it. But I imagine that he probably had symptoms and stuff long before they detected it, or maybe he would have lived. But I do remember in previous interviews with him, he said his diet consisted of cigarettes and coffee. And that's what he did from dusk till dawn. But I love Frank Zappa. And I think even if you don't, you might like this. Still digging. I don't know how much I'm digging it, but I'm watching it. Dark Side of the 90s. Is an interesting show. It's, you know, we lived in the 80s and all the 80s shows revere the 80s, you know, and I became an adult in the 2000s, in the 90s, you know, in my 20s, and just remembering all this stuff. The last two episodes were Viper Room, and that's all about that club where River Phoenix died. You know, Johnny Depp owned it, and there's some interesting shit in that episode. I'd never heard the 911 call that River Phoenix made. It was the saddest thing. I was like almost crying because it was like he didn't know. He was just upset about his brother. And it was very heartfelt. And I liked River Phoenix. I thought he was a great actor.
I was obsessed with him. I had a whole fucking, I was in his fan club. I wrote letters to him and shit.
Those kids must have had some fucked up happen to them. You know?
They were in that creepy cult.
Yeah, but they always say, oh, he couldn't handle the fame. No. He can handle the fame. He couldn't handle what he was thinking about from the past.
I heard that day he died, he had gotten a letter from some little girl in Michigan and he just couldn't take it anymore off himself.
Yeah. Dear Stan.
Because his next project was Interview with a Vampire. And because he passed, it went to Christian Slater playing the interviewer instead of River Phoenix.
Boy, that was a movie when that came out. I was like, I'm never going to see this. It's going to be stupid. And back then I was like, it's going to be, you know, because it was the 90s and that's what I was thinking of at the time.
You hadn't met.
But using it in a pejorative term, what were you going to say? I hadn't met who?
Matt Damon's daughter yet.
No, I hadn't met Matt Damon's daughter to rat me out. Wow, we are living in fucking communist China when your kids are ratting you out to them.
He was in this movie called A Night in the Life of Jimmy Reardon, which was not a very good movie.
No, but it was a good movie. It wasn't terrible.
It wasn't very good, but there was also a book. And this is how obsessed I was with him when I was a teenager, that I would read that book and have just erotic fantasies about him. Reading the stupid book.
Oddly, me too. No, but just to put a point on my Interview with the Vampire, it's a good movie. And I ended up really liking it. So
wanted to get Jimmy Reardon.
I think you did. I would take anything Jimmy
Reardon by Jimmy. And I checked out the show that Jeff recommended and I enjoyed it. And it's a fun little show, Man versus History. It's on the History Channel. And I watched the first two episodes. I don't know if there's a third yet, but I have it on DVR. So it must've been last night that it recorded or something, but it's a good show. I like to host and, I like how it's, you know, a bunch of different things. I don't know how to describe it. Jeff did a good job of it, but I just enjoy it.
Yeah. It's a fun show. And that guy, Bill Lepp, the host is a good,
yeah, I love him a lot.
He was a good storyteller. I don't think he ever played at the storytelling festival in our town, but I used to see him at the National Storytelling Festival in Tennessee.
My staff pick is already out and it's on Netflix. I watched all the episodes in a row. Didn't stop watching it because it was so fascinating to me. Myth and Mogul, John DeLorean, has his wife, who is an actress and a model. It shows you his rise and his fall. And if you've seen the DeLorean, you know what the DeLorean is if you've seen Back to the Future. But this is where how the car got started, his career, I believe, with GM, and how he decided to leave Detroit. And he got addicted to fame and he got addicted to younger women. You know, his wife was young actress model when he met her. But interesting cat, interesting car, and the whole way he beat the cocaine rap. It's a fun little documentary and it's done very well. It's, you know, no one's passing judgment. It's balanced. So there you go.
I started watching it.
Did you like it or no?
Yeah, I like it. And there was a DeLorean at Caffeine and Octane this past weekend. And it was in pristine shape.
Oh, then it wasn't my neighbor.
No, the finish on it.
Oh yeah. It was stainless steel. So it wouldn't.
Right. Work. Yeah, I forgot. You know, once you get up on it, you touch it, you're like, well, this is a trip.
Yeah, yeah. And the things that you didn't know about the DeLorean, that he had to get money from the British government to create jobs in Northern Ireland, which I found fascinating. I didn't know that they were made in Northern Ireland. And it's just a good, it's interesting. It's
the hometown Detroit, born with nothing.
Nope, born with nothing. And he died with nothing. And you'll find out what he was doing when he died. He wasn't making cars.
That's a true Detroit story right there.
Hey, you need a watch? All right, Jeff, let's do views and snooze. Hey,
real quick, before
news
we do
snooze. Okay, go
before
ahead.
We do views or snooze, Nora from Queens season 2 starts August 18th. They're running it on Comedy Central first and then HBO Max.
Oh, okay.
Also, real quick before we get started with views or snooze, I want to thank Emily Hine Warren. She donated $350.
Yes,
the AFLAC event that we did. I don't know the full name of it, and I don't want to butcher it. So it's the Cancer and Blood Disorder Center, Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, CHOA, and WSB did the annual carathon, and we just did really, really well. So anyway, we offered up 2 slots for Radio Labyrinth to sit in and watch the show in Zoom and give a staff pick and also get a t-shirt. And through the kindness of her heart, Emily donated $350. Steph, why don't you talk about Jeff Lissel's wife's GoFundMe, please.
We
all shared it, but go ahead and plug it.
I guess we'll post the link again or whatever, but Jeff's wife, she had some stuff going on with her feet and she had one of her feet amputated. Now she's going to have to have the other one amputated in a few months. And obviously, you know, this is a complete lifestyle change for them. And yeah, they are having to remodel their bathroom. They're trying to put a ramp on the front of their house. She's going to be wheelchair bound for a while. I mean, the goal is ultimately that she'll be able to use prosthetic legs, but I mean, I can't imagine how hard this would be to go through, not just you yourself, this happening to, but also as the family trying to be there for you and trying to, you know, and Jeff has a very intense job. He's an EMT and, I mean, he's a lot of stress. Anyway, he's such a good guy. His wife is such a lovely lady. And if you can donate to their GoFundMe, I didn't see what it was up to at last point, but they're, goal is really, they got 15,000 on there. He said that his latest estimate is that it could be up to 20 to do everything that they need to do to make the home livable for her. She's in a skilled rehabilitation center right now for a few weeks, but then she will be coming home and they're just trying to get things done as quickly as they possibly can.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that with us and donate if you can, and or just say something nice and support if you can. Views or snooze?
All right, number one, views or snooze, is Family Game Night. This is Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell hosting a family competition. This show is like rushed into production to take the place of the Ultimate Slip and Slide show that was canceled after the incident.
Shit.
Snooze for me.
Snooze.
Yeah, it's a snooze for me also. I would have watched the hell out of that Ultimate Slip and Slide show, especially after the incident. But
yeah, I would view the Slip and Slide show as is, but but yeah, not this, no.
So it's a snooze from all of us.
All right,
number two is Cooking with Paris. This is on Netflix. Celebrity chef Paris Hilton cooks on TV. You gonna watch it?
Snooze.
Snooze.
Unless it's baking.
She's nude. Even if she was naked and it was in shot with a night camera, you know, like green. No, I would snooze.
Preparing tube steak? No. Maybe, but no.
So it's a snooze from all of us on Cooking with Paris. And number three is Heart to Heart on Peacock.
It was murder.
This is Kevin Hart's new interview chat show.
Is that the butler that drove them around everywhere?
Yeah.
That was good. That was good. That was, it was murder. You put your wife into the dinghy and then she drowned. Oh, wait a minute. We're not talking
about this. Is the interview anyway. Show?
Yeah, this is not Heart to Heart, the 80s drama.
Yeah.
This is Hart, Kevin Hart, H-A-R-T, two H-E-A-R-T, Heart to Heart, his interview show. I think the first two episodes may be out now.
Well, I would probably view it, but I don't have Peacock and I'm not getting it. So
you can watch it on my Comcast app if you're still doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's Peacock on it.
Yeah, you know, Comcast News. Gives you Peacock. You got to watch commercials though. For some reason, we're supposed to get Peacock Premium, which even if we're getting Peacock Premium, there's still too many commercials on it.
I'm a snooze on that, not because I don't like Kevin Hart, but because if I'm going to listen to an interview, it's going to be Rogan or it's going to be Gilbert and Frank Santopadre, or it's going to be Marin.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I'll give it a chance if he has some interesting guest on, but I'm not going to be a regular viewer. So I'll give it a snooze also.
All right. So it looks like most of us are snoozing on these shows. Thank you, Jeff. I love this.
Yeah, it's great.
Steph, before we wrap up, what's going on with Barkville?
Well, first off, you thanked Emily Hine Warren, and I would also like to thank Emily Hine Warren and her husband because their business, his landscaping business, they sponsored Barkville in our 5K.
Awesome. So
they were just dropping, you know, altruistic vibes all over the place on that day. And you couldn't ask for like a cooler couple. They're like the best. Their kids are like freaking angel gorgeous. You know, they're like from another planet. Doesn't even make sense. So thank you guys again. I really appreciate it. And if you guys wanted to sponsor us, we still have time till like mid-August. That would, and you can, there's different levels and whatever level, we'll put your crap on our shirt, we'll give you stuff in a bag. But anyway, anything that you do, you're helping us save more dogs from shelters, and we would really appreciate it. Tim may be our DJ. We're still talking about this. Tim says he might be DJing for us, but this is for it's for the 5K.
Yeah.
Or no, it's for Strut Your Mutt. I can't remember. Anyway, but Tim might be DJing some shit for us. I can't remember which one. No, it's for this one. That's what it is.
As long as I'm at the
we're not expecting like
DJ means a segging song. So I
mean, you don't have to be like DJ Jazzy Tim or anything. I mean, you can just spin the river cuts or whatever.
Hell yeah.
So anyway, we appreciate you do that. Just if you want to foster, if you want to donate, go to barkfielddogrescue.org. Wolf.
Thank you. You can become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member by going to patreon.com/TimAndrews. And you can follow us on social media at @radio_labyrinth on Twitter, at Radio Labyrinth on Instagram. Also, we have another Instagram, which is
Radio Labyrinth Presents.
There you go. And we have a Facebook, Radio Labyrinth, or you can go to the Radio Shack, which is where the cool people hang out for deeper dive discussions on various things. And you're allowed to contribute there. And also, if you're listening and you haven't yet made the move to our YouTube page, first of all, like us and all that on do all the iTunes stuff you got to do or whatever one you're on. But go to our YouTube page and check it out. The videos are great. Dustin does an awesome job putting everything together. There's lots of graphics and links and things that make it interesting when you're watching it. And like us and subscribe on there as well, please, because the more numbers we get on there, the more interviews we'll get and the more content we can bring you. We are definitely, and I've said this before, but we are going to do Patreon only things. I'm going to announce this right now. So if you made it this far in the podcast, if you are a Patreon member and you got to wait for the post to come up, we want to do an Ask Us Anything. Now, you can have me do characters. You can have us all do scenarios. You can have the other hosts give me scenarios. We can ask Steph stuff. You can ask, but keep it all pop culture related. But I want to do some more stuff like that and just put it out there for the people who donate to the show. And it'll be, you know, any level. Okay, so if you're at the $1 level or the $25 level, it'll be for everybody. So that's one thing definitely want to do. And we also all have to rewatch and plan out when we're going to do this, The Fifth Element, so we can do a review and a Radio Labyrinth Presents in the near future. So with all that being said, I am going to go make some formula, and I will talk to you guys soon. So until that time, remember to keep it canon. All right, now we're going to thank all of our Radio Labyrinth Patreon producers right here live and then recorded. And then, you know, in a couple months, we'll do a new one. If you'd like to become a Radio Labyrinth Patreon supporter, you can just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. We have lots of different levels, lots of different rewards. But the producers, you come in at $25 and up and you get yourself a T-shirt, and then you are an actual producer of the show. So you get credited every single week. And I want to start off with our general managers. Those are people who have been with us 4 years or longer. You guys feel free to jump in on that. We have Mr. Eric Malmstrom.
Oh, yes. He just won our big Barkville prize.
Oh, yeah. What did he win?
$3,000 in recliners.
Pays to listen to Radio Labyrinth and also donate to Barkville. Keith Tate has been with us since October 2016, and so is Eric. Matt Carter has been with us since November of 2016. And Chad Shepard has been with us since October of 2017. That's pretty, pretty awesome. Thank you, guys. And Chad Shepard is the gentleman and scholar who had the Redbox troll made into a doll. And then he gave it to me. And I think, and I can't wait to scare my child with it. okay. By the way, these are silly radio things that I came up with. Program directors, if you've been 2 to 3 years, I don't know what I'm at. There was, you got Sean Hall. He's a very awesome dude. He just made a big move. I'm not going to tell you where he moved to, but he just made a big move, and he's loving living in the suburbs, the country life. He's been with us since April of 2018. We also have Mike D, been with us since August of 2018. And John Sutherland, who is another awesome dude. Who had this really cool thing made for me. It's, I drew, Demented Don and the Donalds. Donald Trump is every member of KISS. And he had it put on plexiglass, and it's really cool.
Aww.
And I'm also going to put that in Gil's room, in his crib, so you can look at it. He's been with us since December of 2018. DJ Spit of the Hits for up to 2 years or less. We have Mr. Tim Slayton, who's been around since November of 2019. Brian Smith, who we just saw recently as well out in Conyers, him and him.
Chelsea Dubois.
That's right, Chelsea Dubois. Thank you guys very much. Chris Chandler, who's been around since December of 2020. Todd Ellis, January of 2020. Roby Neely has been around since November of 2019, and you can catch Mr. Roby Neely. You can catch him on our show sometimes. He's on Mike TV. And our most recent, Marty Johnson, who came on board in May of 2021. So thank you very much, Marty Johnson. And I want to throw this out to our assistant producers, Emily Warren and Buck Monterey. Emily's been with us since May of 2018, and Buck Monterey been with us since December of 2017. Thank you all very much for being producers. Again, if you'd like to sign up, you don't have to be a producer. We have all sorts of levels and tiers. Go to
patreon.com/TimAndrews.
Thank you very much, Jeff. And now back to baby stuff.
Please hang up and try again.